So, who do you think is the biggest player in local produce in the U.S. grocery economy? Any ideas?
Carrie says it's zucchini farmers.
No. It's Walmart. Marion Burroughs joins us. She's a food writer for the New York Times, joining us on the phone from Maryland. Marion, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
There is suddenly an interest on the part of supermarket chains in local produce. What impact is that having on local produce markets around the United States?
Well, the impact that it's having is it's making farmers come out of the woodwork who had sort of disappeared and making it possible for a lot of them to actually make a living. And so it's, I don't know, this is just a personal opinion, but I think it's grand.
Well, it's certainly very, very interesting because you've got a proliferation of category labels in produce inside supermarkets. There's organic, there's local, there's, you know, fresh, there's farmers, and local is now, at least it appears by some of the statistics you cite, a pretty hot commodity in some of these supermarket chains. How has it affected demand?
Demand is very high. Actually, the demand cannot be supplied yet. There's much more that's wanted than is really available because it's been really happening over the last 2 years. I mean, it's been happening maybe 5 years, but over the last 2 years, the demand has become very, very strong. And local has become hotter than organic.
Now, one would think that local would come at a cost savings because there's, you know, less fuel that you're paying for. I mean, when you buy those Chilean blueberries, you're definitely buying a plane ticket. You're definitely not doing that if you're buying local cucumbers. But are these prices lower?
Sometimes they're lower, and sometimes they're the same, and sometimes they're higher. It has to do with the economies of scale. When you've got 20 guys bringing their products to your market, it's going to cost more than when one guy is bringing it to the market. But as somebody said in the story that I wrote about it, nobody's going to be able to tell you anymore. It's much cheaper to get it out from out west. And when they get the infrastructure back that has long been gone for with enough trucks, enough distributors, enough places to put the food before it goes to the supermarket, the prices will come down more.
Well,
but whatever the prices are, in the end, it's really cheaper to buy this stuff because it's going to last longer. It's much, much fresher.
It's cheaper on the part of the entire food community. I mean, the investment may be, the price may be high at the store, but the overall investment in distribution and all the kinds of expenses that go into large-scale agriculture are really very much reduced. You know, you mentioned something a moment ago, which sort of harkens me back to the 60s and even earlier. What infrastructure for distributing food is gone that used to be around? I mean, I remember horse-drawn produce carts even as late as the 1960s.
Now, you must have been living in the deep woods.
Well, you know, Binghamton, New York, that's pretty deep.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, exactly. What's gone is the all the regional infrastructure that there used to be all over this country for everything that had to do with food. And it's all been consolidated in a few places. Big consolidation in the Midwest for meats, for instance. Big consolidation for virtually all your produce from the West Coast. And the small things are no longer available. And they have to rebuild it all. They have to re-regionalize food in order for this to work.
That's really interesting. Now, what institutions, what markets are better at getting a really good variety of local produce, the large markets or maybe the smaller markets?
Well, one day maybe the large markets will be. I don't know. But what it's the small small and medium-sized independent supermarkets who actually have been doing some of this stuff all along. They never stopped buying local. And I'm not suggesting that the big never buy local. Every year when it's corn season and tomato season, they'll buy local if they have good corn and tomatoes. But that's the extent of it. It's these other smaller places that have the flexibility, and you need a lot of flexibility to deal with farmers who might want to come to your back door, to deal with, to find the co-op or the guys who are going to get together in some kind of a distribution system. And it, the reason it costs more money in, it really hasn't got so much to do with how much gas there is, but you do have to have more people working on this in a store system, in a supermarket
right.
system.
It's labor intensive. It's the sorting. It's the intake, that sort of thing. Well, let's talk corn for a second and break down sort of the statistics. If you buy corn from a local bin at Walmart's, how old do you think that corn is likely to be? How old?
I refuse to answer that question.
What about farmer's market? Is that day-old corn? Is that picked that same day?
It's probably picked that morning. I mean, if it, you know, if they're not fooling around with you, it is picked that morning, early in the morning, or possibly the evening before. But it will be less than 24 hours old if it's a legitimate farmer's market.
So farmers,
I can't say that. Even in the best supermarket system, it's probably going to be a little bit older, except where they're really, really dedicated.
So
because it's going to go, I'll tell you why, it's going to go to a central warehouse probably in many instances. It's not going to go all the time directly to the store.
So it may be a day older than farmer's market corn, but it shaves possibly a few days off the warehouse corn that supermarkets are used to getting.
Well, yeah, it may be more than a few days.
Really?
And, you know, but of course that's why they have rebuilt corn so that it's sweet even if it's a week old. It still can't hold a candle to a local corn.
So, and that's why, you know, you're a writer for the New York Times food section. You know the difference between corn that's just been picked and corn that's been hanging around for a week, right? Give us an argument for why we should look for the freshest possible corn.
Well, I don't know. It depends on your taste buds, I suppose. Do you want corn that tastes sweet and easy when you bite into it, or do you want a corn that, which gives you sort of a little firmness on the tooth and that has turned to starch? Corn immediately upon picking starts to turn to starch. And I don't know if you notice, sometimes the displays aren't really that cold. And the warmer it is, or the more it's exposed to regular everyday temperature, the faster it goes.
Well, you're making me hungry, Marion. Thanks so much for being around here.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, so we should go out to Marion's house and get some fresh corn. Marion Burroughs is a food writer for the New York Times. Her story today is about supermarket chains suddenly taking an interest to the tune of $400 million or more in local produce.
That's a lot. And isn't Walmart kind of leading the way? It was one of the major, major companies to announce that it was going to be buying significant amounts of local produce.
Walmart has immediately launched itself into being the biggest player in local produce, for good or ill. And I think that's the interesting issue that Marion brings up in her article. We are always on here at The Takeaway. You can catch up with us on our website as well as Facebook and Friend Feed. You know, I can really annoy our web team by saying you can go to our website and order corn that was picked today, but that would be a lie. That would be a lie.
Well, maybe not if you check back in about 20 minutes.
Who knows?
We can
hear
them
fast.
Scrambling
they are
now.
Fast. They can
We've
scramble.
Been talking about food, local food, and new ways to treat AIDS, and America's, I don't know, new frontier. That's John's word, but we'll debate
it's
that
America's
later.
It's America's new frontier. Hey, it might even be our 51st state. We're talking about the Olympic torch as it completes its journey in Beijing for the Olympics. You can visit our website at www.thetakeaway.org to see a map of where the torch has gone and hear the audio of its journey amid protests and celebrations.
And we're following the story of the immigration raids in Iowa involving children, it turns out, and a whole lot of issues about children labor laws and potential violations.
Nancy Lebarski says on her website that she's interested in the immigration violation story that we talked about in the last hour. More about that on our website. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji. This is The Takeaway.